Also aimed at reducing the 1S, promote healthy lifestyle through a variety of programs including big walks and fun runs. As a result, SRSA, together with Basic Education, hosted a successful national schools championship in 2012, and we're expanding the school sport program this year. As a result, we're happy to learn that the NTP recommends that this should be expanded so that all schools develop and maintain infrastructure for at least two sports. All communities should have access to sport facilities and encourage the formation of amateur leagues. Ladies and gentlemen, like the sports plan indicates, the NTP states that the best place to instill changes in lifestyle behavior is at school. To this end, a number of slides regarding status of physical education, access to sports recreation facilities, and support are made. Health and SRSA, together with the Department of Health, are partnering to ensure that our people are living healthy lifestyles. For us to build a culture of physical activity and recreation, we must dedicate certain days of the month to physical activity, where everyone is encouraged to take part in physical activity. Such things should be widely supported within and outside families in order to stimulate a healthy culture. But the conditions for a culture of physical activity also need to be taken care of. For example, the state must ensure that the design of cities, suburban areas, and rural villages encourages people to run, walk, and cycle. One of the key components of the sports plan is the transformation charter and the scorecard. The baseline of transformation in South African sports needs to be determined, and the appointment of an MN presence group in 2012 helped the department to perfect some elements of transformation and effect some change. Because of the importance of transformation for the future of South African sports, it is imperative that SRSA delivers on this focus area. SRSA is consolidating internal capacity which will be provided to national federations and other sport bodies through the increasing capacity of the EPG to assist national federations to implement the charter and to accurately complete the scorecard. The national federations will be subjected to a transformation review to monitor progress in this regard. It is against this backdrop that SRSA will provide the material support to the EPG and produce quarterly consolidated national federation transformation progress report based on their interactions with SANCOR and the National Federation. It is envisaged that this key project will require a permanent secretariat and staff in 2015. It is also worth mentioning that the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Recreation is hard at work in assisting SRSA to actualize the essence of recreation. And it is in this regard that SRSA mandated the recreation committee based on the following terms of reference: 1, to provide technical and professional advice to the ministry; 2, to replace the road standard since South Africa resolved to designate recreation as one of the government programs; 3, to advise on the successes, strengths, weaknesses, and failures on the current recreation landscape; and 4, to identify the key stakeholders and partners who drive the promotion and delivery of national sports and recreation strategy. The committee is expected to table its report to the ministry in the near future. In the meantime, we will provide secretarial support to the ministerial Advisory Committee on Recreation and produce quarterly consolidated progress report on the work of the committee. As a result, over the medium term, the department will develop a single governance framework for recreation in South Africa to strengthen the delivery of recreation programs. It is envisaged that these programs will not be institutionalized, but will be community initiatives driven by educational and public promotional campaigns. We believe that with the minimum resources SRSA received for the year under review, the department has scored 90 out of 100%. We feel that sometimes it is not only about money for one to achieve results, it is also about passion, focus, including vigor and justice. We showed this through the force of commitment to change the face of sport and recreation in South Africa. Our interventions in cricket and football are examples of such. From the State of the Nation address, the President reaffirmed our strategic focus for the year ahead and unequivocally placed emphasis on the power of sports as a unifying and nation-building tool in our country. Building on this clear directive from the President, we need to continue on our current trajectory and make sure that we deepen the culture of sports and recreation in South Africa. On the 17th of August 2013, Sports and Recreation and the Department of Agriculture, working together with our partners, hosted the first ever Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day in celebration of the life and legacy of this world icon. Inspired by the positive values of unity, sacrifice, and inspiration which the former president stood for. On this day, and for the first time in the history of South Africa, FNV National Media hosted a rugby and football tabloid, followed by a music festival featuring both local and international artists. The program attracted more than 52,000 people in the stadium, joined by more than 2.5 million others who watched this historical celebration on television. Rally blind the federal card, one land, one nation, one celebration. This program succeeded beyond expectation in its objectives to promote social cohesion, nation building and global peace, and to further raise funds for the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. For the building of the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital as part of our commitment to keep Nelson Mandela's legacy alive. For that purpose, in the current year, we shall approach Parliament with the following pieces of legislation to seek decisions that will strengthen both the department and the broader sport and recreation sector. Sport and Recreation Amendment Act, Combat Sports Bill of Civil Field Act. As per requirement, the legislative program has already been submitted to Parliament through the legal government bill. Needless to say, the support and guidance of the committee throughout this process can never be overemphasized. And the portfolio committee shall therefore be kept informed regarding this matter. Honorable members, on 28 September 2013, SRSA hosted the National Boxing Dinner. At the heart of our deliberations was the interest of the boxer and turn around boxing in South Africa and finally met the future of boxing in our country. The endeavor resolved a number of resolutions and gave the responsibility to government and other strategic role players, especially the provincial departments of sports, to see to it that an implementation plan is drafted and distributed to all provinces for report back purposes and swift implementation. For the next 2 months, all provinces will begin a report back campaign to inform all boxing stakeholders and our people about the outcomes of the boxing endeavor. The endeavor resolved that government should increase its budget and funding of the amateur open boxing in order to identify a natural talent that could be ready for the professional elite boxing at higher levels. Provincial Department of Sports and Recreation will, in a matter of 2 to 3 months, convene provincial MECs meeting with basic education to devise strategies for the rollout of boxing in schools as part of the school sports program. MECs shall lead the revival of boxing in schools as one of their special projects, including women in boxing. Women boxing will be prioritized and treated as a special project of the National and Provincial Department of Sports. Through the provincial grant, women boxing should be pre-funded and enhanced. Before the end of this year, the minister will find resources and funding to promote the grassroots boxing development. Options will be devised for this purpose, including the use of provincial conditional grant and the lottery. In the same vein, the ministry will lead a bigger struggle to change the conditions and positioning of boxers in South Africa to reclaim and restore the dignity of the boxer through creating an enabling environment for the boxer to prosper. The ministry will continue with its intention to line the broadcast device with different TV channels of the Republic of South Africa to ensure that boxing is ready and in all our strategic TV channels and any other media. Government will ensure BSA to embark on a consultative process to determine and define what commercial rights and report back to all stakeholders. By the end of February, we should finalize the process of the establishment of boxing national association across the country. Led by SRSA, government will continue to work with civil society to create an enabling environment and infrastructure in communities to promote active citizenry and promote healthy lifestyle. We will work with formal and informal sports stakeholders to organize sports and recreation activities that are aimed at reinforcing the objectives of the national sport plan. We do so committed to the words of Oliver Tambo to defeat racial discrimination in South Africa, including the defeat of the use of South Africa's secured economic power to perpetuate the dominance of one national group in certain sporting codes at the expense of the other national groups, as well as the defeat of the use of sports and culture to perpetuate racial discrimination and white supremacy, and make all this not a part and parcel of the democratic South Africa. Close quotes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've provided you with the overview of SRSA Annual Report 2012-2013. In pursuit of accountable and transparent governance, our objective is to inform Parliament and the people of the Republic of South Africa of the progress made since the adoption of the National Sports Plan in 2011. Director General will provide you with a detailed PowerPoint presentation about all our activities for 2013 financial period, as well as handling of the reports of South African Institute for Rugby, Sports Science and Boxing South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Minister, for the presentation. And then we will then move on and invite the Director General to. I think the speech minister will be dedicated to. Is that the speech now? Just a question. Okay. This is the introduction. Then it's one. Yeah. Question?
Yeah.
On the speech?
Yes.
The letters not do that to it. The letters allow the Auditor General to raise the issue. The minister, the deputy minister, and the idea. But it's preferable for the Director General to do this, to follow the conference. Because sometimes making one presentation or annual report, it makes it difficult for members to get involved on the details of the rate discussion. If it is possible to do that, I think it would be very useful for us to do that. And then members from time to time will intervene and put their program and then elaborate on it. And then the next program, five programs, I think each and every program should allow a space for members to engage. I think that's what we're able to do. And really, I think we'll cover that.
Chairperson, I disagree with you. I believe that the minister made a few statements here, and we must talk about these things, Chairperson. You know, we travel the country, and we see what's happening on the ground. And I agree, I'm sort of informed the minister of what is happening, perhaps asking a few questions about the Chairperson. And some of it is included in his speech, or as you say, in his speech. Really, this is a statement, and we want to respond to Chairperson. Sorry. I phone for myself and my heart perhaps. I want to respond to the chair, so I don't want to speak on behalf of that, of course.
Well, okay, now, let's cut one forward. I just thought that is introduction to the main report. The once the main report is presented, we can still have time to raise the issue that we want to raise with the minister. I think the minister has been a hand today to do that. And therefore we'll have this discussion on that. I think it's important to allow the Director General to introduce the annual report, the details and strategic areas. Honorable Lee, I think we have not had your question already.
Simple question.
Okay.
Chairperson, in terms of this country, as I said. And everywhere we go, and because to me this is the center of it all. It is giving opportunities to communities, the facilities. That's what you say. But to me, that is the biggest statement that you make. And when we go around municipalities, Jefferson, what do they tell us? You know, we don't even have a sports media. Sport is, we don't. You know, the funds that you give to them, me, they tell us no, that we have other priorities here. In other words, what we dream of, what you dream of, what you state here, is difficult to achieve if those, if they have that attitude. And the pity that we all know that the audience is still here. But I think it is for him also to report, Jacob, on what they do with money that is sitting there. It is for sport, for sporting purposes, and it's used for other purposes, Jacob. We will never have facility as long as this is there as a chairman. That is the point that I want to make.
Okay, this is a very important point. Diversion of the link fund to other facilities on that. I think we are right in the city, yes, we set up problems. That's your first question that you posed. The other is very clear. When there's a desperate need for water, they take the money, they use it for water. I think there's a bigger challenge that you're facing. Director General, I think what the minister will comment is before he leaves is yes, that I have a political. Director General, would you want to take us through on the annual report? The areas that you want to take us through. We always request that you would take us on the strategic areas of what? it's not working.
Or we play in Wallabies, the stadium will be full.
But the developmental nature of these things is important. If we bring in women, because this time around we had the legend, Captain Noiva, and in the future you can have women football, you can also have women sports, and netball, and all of that, and then you can add, I absolutely agree with you. EPG, we have said in the statement that we're working on the resource center. I've gone to SASCOC, I've built them on the terms together with EPG and the scorecards and so on. To a certain extent, we agreed to enforce quotas where it is actually possible. But EPG is not having the capacity that is required. It's only now that we have started to capacitate EPG in order to do it well. It is on the basis of that, of course, that we agreed to know. We already know what is happening, but it's just that we don't understand science. But that report of EPG must assist us to drive transformation in a particular direction and to be able to inform us as to what is the problem of transformation. Because, Honorable Kok, you will agree with me that we share the same perspective and vision in terms of transformation. But the perspective we articulate, we are heads of God. We're not speaking from the same view. Because to other people, transformation means karmics, you know? And then to others, transformation is without merit. And then to others, it's just a racial polarization. And transformation is a holistic nature of what we want to achieve. We all want to see the racialized teams. We all want to see our team perform. But we want to do like Kenyans, who embrace swimming and then they drown in the Olympic pool. And that is simply because you simply want to swim and do all of those things. And I think we want to do something where in which it were integrated access and an equity. We don't want a player who is performing very well on merit but is put on the bench. Yeah. We start to question in that sense that why is so and so? Remember this body. None of people like in the present one of rugby. No, Yankees. Yes. We put the coach under pressure to fill it. Played with the all black one. And then the form of the guy and his confidence went down. You know what I mean? We don't want to put players in that situation. Because they underperform, they just disappear. Because all of a sudden he was under pressure and he's kicking. And were beaten by the all black. But the blame was not on him. The stage is too big for the young man. But I'm just saying that we've got to understand how we want to deal with these questions, and the EPG is actually going to assist us to deal with some of these particular issues. But when we see that there's a transition clearly, and the EPG will tell us that no, these people have got talent, but they've resolved that they are not going to get others on board, then we hit hard. With what? We deal with the federation. Number two, we use the quotas to impose on that particular federation, because we've been told that there is talent, but they simply ignore it. But to how, and for the first time we're having this EPG without a perspective and scientific information on what is happening, is tantamount to nothing. We'll speak up until we turn blue. And the EPG is not how it's going to understand. And the department is working very hard to capacitate them with the research capacity. And we have briefed all federations. And we have taken them through, including the scorecards and everything else, what is to happen and the benefit that comes with that implementation of the transformation process. So from where they are very clear what we are basically intending to do.
Robert, I think you want to jump.
Yes, I do.
But that's exactly what I was trying to avoid. Chief by Lee, and I know that the
honourable
and young Lee, I think really the minister has raised some of the issues that we allow him to do so, because also we will allow them to go into other work wherever he feels to leave them, he will be free to do that. Then we remain. If there are other issues at the political level that want to raise, I think that would allow you that space to because when the minister wants to leave, he must leave. But they had a critical issue at a strategic level, want to raise at a political level, the minister has all the situation. And I think we should allow you to do so.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
not a last match debate.
Chairperson, I would like to concur with the minister here. My slightest problem is only about quotas, Chairperson. You know, we need to use people or give them opportunities on merit. Because, like the minister has rightfully said, if we use quotas, you know, it's like trying to have the racial mix. And you find that some of the players are not actually ready to take the big stage. But when we field people on merit, I think it will be fair. And it's high time that we need to encourage our people from different localities, you know, to raise the bar so that they can be able to compete on the bigger stage. That is my only concern, Chair. Thank you very much.
Mr. Lee. You want to make a point, political point. I'm allowing you a stage.
Another brother needs a point, Chair.
I'll
wait for the
politics.
I can play the game, Chair.
Well, I'm allowing you to play the game. The minister is too free to deal with the game.
No, Chair, I agree with everything that was said by the Honourable Ikhachiria, as well as the point made by Mr. Rappertown, Chair. Just to the minister, you see, you spend nearly 100% of the budget for that, but you also only reach 47% of the talent. Now, I'm asking the question, do we then not have enough money, or are the targets too many or too too high? Because if you have target chambers, then you must have money to finance those target chambers. If I spend 99% of my budget, then I'm supposed to reach about 99% of my target chambers. So that really is my question. I've got a problem with that. Spending sort of all the money and only reaching 40% and not reaching 40% of the target chambers. That really is my question.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question relates to the engagement of the minister with the Ministry of Different Provinces. Our oversight is sort of that MECs are not taking proper decisions in both of the provinces. You go to that work. It's a problem. Some of the regions in Mpumalanga and in Limpopo, in fact, community clubs are not getting any support from the department. And I also want to agree with you that when you go to Ethiopia, the model of Ethiopia is very good. We went there in Limpopo. And like, for instance, they are when they're building community homes, they're not building them for hosting funerals, birthday parties, and weddings. You know, so the models that they're using, they've got this multi, they put indoor, putting coats, leather playing, every day. You know, they're engaging schools, every day it's full. Those community halls are full. I think we should also lobby MECs and MECs, even if they're not MECs for photo registration, but MECs for culture, so that they can bring that model of Ethiopia to any other province. Because yes, we're using community halls in different areas. In our rural areas, there are a lot of community halls, but they're waiting for funerals to be held on Saturdays and Sundays. But during the course of the week, those community halls are out of not assisting, or they're closed actually. They're not utilized during the week. So that's my recommendation.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. This is just one question for the minister, and it is about the pride the minister is making in his sport, especially on physical education. Because there was something that we did not see when we did that over there. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, two next point on that is, you see, we have got a national agreement between the Minister of Education and and sport. But now I want to know whether that type of agreement is also in the provinces. Because no use having such agreements here, and then it should happen down there. It's not chairperson. Just as but chairperson, I just want to say one thing. And I'm glad that it was mentioned about MECs. I want to say here today, chairperson, especially to the minister and the administration too. No, we went to the free state chairperson. And I'm telling you today that if something is going to happen in sport in a very big way in the future, it's going to happen to the chairperson. The attitude of the MEC is not in Janice's hands on the sport. The administration, I'm telling you, chairperson, they are really serving this country. You know, and I want to say publicly here today that I'm telling you that the free state could be the example to what should happen in sport. Because everything there is in total control and knows everybody and everything that is happening there. I was part of the for that.
Mr. Naria.
Okay, so Honourable Minister, you would comment and the Deputy Minister would comment.
I think the first point is a point of emphasis with regard to Honorable Abu Dhabi was saying about the question of merit. And we'll actually relate to the particular issue in the context of transformation, what we were talking about. I think we have a big debate around that in terms of South Africa. What is merit? Our concept really is not to work ourselves down with a definition of what is that, is to say how to create an environment where in which everyone is capable to play and not the sport energetic and all of that is able to do that. Equity and other the sport. And in the long term I think the merit is important because we are a winning nation. And we can't be a winning nation with mediocrity. Simply because we want to fulfill certain desires, but we must not block people from participating in the sport. And as Mr. Lee, the DM will deal with the question of the target. Honorable engagement with MECs, that is true. I mean, most of the time, I've been with the Tibetan minister to different areas in the countryside. There are community clubs and tournaments that we should support, especially during holidays. Those ones that were supported, like Soweto, your Moloi competition of football, it doesn't cost a lot of money. If you invest 200,000, it's a lot. But keep communities, you know, they move the nation. And I don't see why our province are not investing in terms of a community. That sort of thing is important. But, you know, the point is that I can't comment about my colleagues and their capabilities in the form of the MEC, except to see that in the meantime is one issue that I will also raise, that we need to pick up the speed in terms of what we need to do. And I think you reported that they themselves, yeah, your own observation as the oversight people, what you think of them, because you are there for that particular purpose to monitor us and to do oversight role in terms of what they're going to eventually execute. And I suppose where that is due, thing like to say you are doing very well, congratulations, like Mr. Lee has said, I think it can only help a person to do even better in terms of the sport. And I think sport needs passion. You know, when I left the police, they said I was the general, and then I was bidding farewell to them. He said to me, I've got nothing to say to you except to say that that is not a place of old age home where you're going. So you must understand that you've got to be active and be humble. And I'm happy that with the Deputy Minister and myself, I've been even to attend to some sporting goals that myself I don't understand. And honestly, when I've been there, people don't need money.
They say to me, Minister, and this keeps coming, and say, we really appreciate your being here. You know, we've never been visited by a minister. Mm-hmm. You speak up for something, you don't put Jack's cave, okay. This is how we play. But people really appreciate it.
Don't repeat that.
No, I'm just picking one. So I concur with you that even in the rural areas, in the Eastern Cape, the folk of Azul Natal have been there, touch down, see people, give them sporting equipment. They really do that disability. And the fact that you are not a minister of rugby, football, and cricket. Because it is more like football. Because when you are there, you are guaranteed you are being on TV. But there are other sports you go where you go, but you will never be on TV. And TV just tell you that, no, we don't cover that. So,
what is that?
Yeah, what is that? But I'm just saying that that is well appreciated. I agree with you about the discipline. School sport, look, according to us and what we have achieved now, we would have achieved more if, despite the agreement with basic education, we could find each other, to be honest with you. If one day it cannot happen in miracle that we are one, all what we have achieved today, we achieved with them, but last year I can say out of 100% is up, 80%. We did, and because I said we can't compromise on this particular thing. We meet with colleagues, sign agreement, we come back. Implementation, the problem. Five people of the department sometimes are told that, look, we distribute textbooks here, we are not about sports, you know, and so on. Go and find people of sports, want to employ them, yes. So you want to say that, and I think up until we achieve this goal, that in each and every school, we've got two teachers to perform that task of sports. We'll never achieve that. We'll never achieve the loss. We'll ensure that all our sporting codes and all that things do happen. I'm quite excited, but I'm not yet about the results. We've got national football championship this year, is intensified at a system level, you will see. But I just can't understand why each and every school can be. Because every school must participate in one or two sporting codes, and this is what we need to achieve. If we can get the school going, because we'll be in a position on our over and over things that we've developed about that the bedrock of development is school sports. We see it with our kids when we take to private schools, that the attitude from the beginning, you know, it's different. Because in the private schools, because we pay a lot of money, a child is not allowed not to play. And you see the result, you know. It doesn't mean that your child at the end of the day will become part of the Springboks. But, you know, the setup and the thinking and the attitude is totally different. And the sport is compulsory. So, if we can achieve that in our schools, we will not have in the next 10, 20 years problems of how many black people are in the reality. Because 20 schools in this country produce Springboks players. Not the entire schools, because that's why even the most the black and African players who play cricket and run come from those schools. Yeah. So if your child has not gone to these schools, UNT schools, will never play rugby. And because why? Half of our schools, I don't know how many there are, 30,000 or something, there's no rugby there. They don't play rugby, they play only football and netball. And then the rest of the 20 schools are the ones, private schools, who play. And then you come and complain and say, there's no transforming. We play rugby here. You are only looking at your township, but and where you stay, you know, and old people, you know, play rugby and so on. But we must take that to the level of the school, and so that we are able to hold accountable others to say, but why are you not selecting and Baru and everybody coaching? But we can't pay this service to that. Our school sport program has delivered the results. Agreement in the provinces with the MEC and so on. I think we can just put emphasis on that point that we expect our MECs to perform, because you see part of the problem is that our system of governance makes MECs to be semi-independent from us. And we meet with the MINMEC
and they will agree on programs, but you can't force them if they don't want to implement issues. I think DG has done well with us telling them the movement to agree on a system that we allocate this money. Initially, you allocate money, people do as they wish with the money. But now we have a system where in which we try to hold them accountable. They are very much of MEC are very much active organizing concept. Because that's as a culture. That's part of the culture. But with us, because the MEC is the MEC of sports and culture. Yeah. And so you will find that the draft side of the culture, they're very maybe there's a lot of money that's I don't know. But when it comes to when it comes to us, things tend to take time and we have to push them from national. But I think we'll convey your messages and your observations that you made in terms of the provinces and in our meeting. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Chairperson. Now the observation is if you look at the nuclear correct of the 104 predetermined outcomes and plans for the year targets, 48. If you look at the report, one will be must not reach, but there's a reason for that. Midway through, as we recall, we had the successful sports in Ghana, the then national sports integration plan was adopted, we took cap, that was approved by cap. The moment that happened, we had to now amend the predetermined outcomes, and we had to not really abandon some, but reconfigure some of them. If you order the general those people to look at these things and say, what type of the husband before you have not done, as we determine. But the reason was for that. But we can assure you as we speak, in the strategic plan that we favor, you will see that we've aligned already all our programs and our predetermined targets for the year to come. So if we did spend the money, it's great, but it was spent not in unison on the side of the amended plans. So that is the only reason for the non-achievement, but it was in fact very good achievement. Thank you.
I like that one. Non-achievement and good achievement. That's wonderful. Okay, colleagues, thank you very much for the minutes and the 2 minutes. And you remain with us as long as you want. If you want to just be here quietly, you allow you to speak. And I think very briefing is very useful for us. And the engagement around this thing, this area of transformation and development of sport in recreation, the advantages of recreation in our country. In very rare things, recreation also is a big challenge for us. But I think we should raise this thing with the ministers, also the provincial ministers or MEC. The commitment of this area. But I think I issue really means that it's to persuade our colleagues in education to realize this has on the school's hall, otherwise the whole issue really is not. One way or another, I think we are able to persuade them, but if the provinces themselves to start getting involved in discussion with our colleagues at the provincial level, and just nudge them, who know education is the priority number one, surely they will be much more concerned about that. Sometimes they think the call is just a nuisance. They have to deal with that issue there. I think we must really continuously consider them on that. And hopefully, Minister, one day the imminent presence group for the end of our term, they should also sometimes interact with the community. We really appreciate that. Just we interact with them. We have a discussion about some of our observations as we call the country. It would be a good idea that we should do that. And the Honorable Lee, and I think, would be happy to engage them in that.
And in retire him.
Okay, colleagues, let us invite the general to take us through. Because some of the issues, in fact, are covered by the ministry.
Yes.
And another general will touch some of the critical areas.
Chair, thank you.
Last year,
it took me 4 hours to table the report. This year, I promise to be very much. And largely because their plans have been fully tabled. And we are not from them, but in all the plans are already known. Now it's about the implementation in the main, and I will then cover those issues. This year, Chinese Africa is Federation of the Year. I think
I can't begin my assistance because when we had a moratorium on no recruitment, there was people were resigning and leaving, and we were not replacing them. So clearly the gap was wider as a consequence of that. And in many other units, including in supply chain and in finance, we even had the pleasure of writing for us to complain that there's too few staff members within the working force area. And we would have that part of the whole exercise of restructuring was not just only about alignment the new sports plan. It was also about the idea of getting core line functions, sports hub facilities, facilities, mass participation, school sport, all of that, to have more staff members than the support functions like HR, like finance, and so on. Because if you look at our organogram prior to 2012, the bulk of the staff members, about 67%, were in support functions, and very few staff members in the line functions. That I will agree with me, and the administrator will tell you that this is a responsibility from the point of view of GBI, particularly with the new sports level. So we had to look at suitability of employees, and we're making exercise to look at which employees we can harvest from the support functions and redeploy and retrain into the new areas. So this exercise, as you know, in the public service takes a long time because of the resurgence of the public service bargaining council. We have to go through a DTT process where the departmental testing the union negotiate that, and when we have an agreement, only then we go into the bargaining chamber to get that agreement endorsed. And even beyond the endorsement, it's not the end of the process. We still have to take it to the minister who must concede and apply his mandate and say yes or no. And even when he says yes, that's not the end. He still has to go to DPSA who must make a comment, and after which you still have to go through the federal reassurance. So the process has taken But trust me, by public service standards, we were lightning fast to reach where we are now, to have arrived, because we took a gamble of running the processes parallel. We could have easily been paralyzed by the unions for that, but thanks to our unions, were very cooperative, and we ran processes parallel, and we were strategic that our last thing we asked the PSA to start committing on it, even when we were still negotiating with the unions. And we started getting feedback, so it was a constant process, and we have just taken it again to the DTT last week, and now we're going back to DPSA, and hopefully Treasury has already looked at it and given us their feedback. So now we have taken a conscious decision to say that the position that are not in dispute, that we, the unions, DPSA and Treasury agree about already, even before the structure is finally approved, that those who must not feel taken. And we have already begun doing so. Even today, as I'm speaking to you, there are two senior positions in the interviews that are taking place in Pretoria. And we are continuously, I think on average now, we are hiring about 4,000 members to be, which again, by public service standards, like green light is fast. So we are not committed to filling vacancies and making sure that by the end of the financial year, all vacancies that are priority and have been agreed upon and planned on, that those we can fill right away. So I think this must be understood in context, that yes, there may have been an expansion in the vacancy rate, but it wasn't because we were simply ignoring the idea of the district in the region. Simply that would be done properly systematically. Let me now move to the issue of the National Sport and Recreation Plan. As you may be aware, We have now institutionalized the plan completely, and we have now begun signing up partnerships with various stakeholders. I must be happy to announce to the committee that we now have a partnership with Samsung Technology and its agencies. The lead one now is Samsung for Scientific Industrial Research, which is helping us with an audit of sports facilities right across the country. We really have no design. You would call that a regret. We have only counted that on how this was prepared. And even from a point of view of determining where the gap are and whether there is a shortage or not, there is a problem, because we didn't even have an answer standard of facilities. Now we do. We have a grading and classification framework, which is what is being utilized for that purpose. And we now know that we want a local sport facility for every 4,500 people, which we didn't have such a long before. And the reason honorable members are affecting a technique as a good model is exactly because the clinic came to us and asked for assistance in respect of them aligning their plans fully to the new sport integration plan. And they have done so, and I think they are the first metro to do so. And they are now rolling out the facilities according to the new non-set standards. And it's amazing what they are able to do when they have aligned fully in line with what they do. And I think the next issue to comply fully will be Cape Town. Them too are moving at a fast pace in this regard, and Swale and Johannesburg are also doing that. So the network are not our biggest worry when except for Nelson Mandela to get the The biggest challenge we are having with this is the cost plan. It's cost. We have costed this plan. We need an average chair, 3.8 billion a year to be able to do this work. And now we have, I think this financial year, there's a distortion on our budget because of the AFCON. So about 500 million of what you see there is AFCON. Even preparing time costs. So if I take that cumulatively, well, we're looking at about 700 million. So you must take that out and put it aside, which leaves us with about 880. That is really the core of our budget. And Treasury has already informed us that they have already cut it by 1%. They are going to cut it by another 1% next financial year, and cut it by another 1% that outer financial year. So basically, our budget is constricting them to increase, and yet our priorities have almost fulfilled them. Now, we are also victims of our own success somewhat, because with the delivery of equipment and some fields in some communities with the available limited budget, now the demand for such from communities has skyrocketed. Now everybody wants facilities, and everybody wants us to help with this, and it's practically impossible to make the demand as such. And we have thought that with the consolidation of the link, we would be able to address this. We have done everything Treasury had wanted us to do. They themselves have acknowledged that our submission again, I mean, it was lightning fast as well. No one has set up a grant. They think nobody takes 3 years for somebody to set up a new grant. But remember, they didn't give us much time. When we presented our plans to them, we were asking them to give us 2 years to prepare for our internal capacity to take up the new money that we have. And they said, no, we must move now. They want to give us money in April 2014. And we must finish, and by August, we must have submitted one of our plans. So effectively, we had like this month to conceptualize this new grant, whether its entire modus operandi, how it will function, what will be the requirement, every other thing. And we finished all of that in the space of 6 months, and we submitted to them. And then they have said that they were happy with everything we've given them. They sent us questions, we responded. By September, we were ready to have the plan gazetted, and they called us to a meeting. When we arrived, they said to us that they don't really have a reason why they can't give us money in April 2014, but we will meet them again in October next year, 2014, and they will most probably give us money in 2015. So obviously, we were unhappy with the setup because it delays us now by 1 year, and they need us to do a lot of work in anticipation of this, and then out of nowhere, and without good reason. And actually say we shouldn't change anything in the place of submission. They are just going to fight it until the following year. So I think that's the biggest challenge, and if I was to plead with the committee to support us in trying to get the money, we don't get the whole of it, but our plans are ready and the cities are ready. And some municipalities, about 17 of them, have already zoned for regional sports hubs, and we're ready to start the whole process. Let me now move to one of the major activities, which was our biggest goal really was the organization for the tournament. You know the history of how the tournament came to South Africa and the challenges that came with it. And it was an unforeseen expense for us. And Treasury accommodated us. Although we didn't get all the money we needed, we had to change the format of the tournament. We insisted, kept wanted the 10-city tournament, we insisted on just 5 cities. In fact, we wanted just 4 cities. Divide the 16 countries. come to my mind. You had everybody saying you want to say just on the password to be limited. The other thing was that watching to reduce the number of mesh days because that's where the biggest cloud driver is. So we have to double header. So two games play on the same day in the same stadium. And so it's four countries. So fans from the four countries are all in the same stadium. So the chances of ticket sales is higher. Even the cities which are hosting them get a better deal because if all the fans from all countries come to that city, they eat there, they sleep there, so on, so it makes sense for the cities to host in that regard. We had a big fight, as you know, it took long, and we signed the last week, I think we signed the last government guarantee a week before the kickoff. And even when ETV was asking me, are you sure this thing is happening? I kept on seeing a great thing, saying yes. A highly successful tournament, and yet I was very worried that some of the guarantees are still not signed because we didn't agree with CAF and the LOC on the last year. And after we had mobilized significantly, and we're told that the tickets will not be sold. If you recall, 2 weeks before the tournament, in totality for all the cities and all matches, only 40,000 tickets were sold. But by the time the kickoff of the tournament happened, we have sold 90% of all tickets. So I think we did a lot of work in respect of the mobilization of society. We launched last year chair the postgraduate development program. Highly successful now. We have 10 master students and 5 PhD students. We will grow this number now, and the CAF is supporting us and paying for this. We were certain that all the money available to be taken up was not taken up. But these are students now who do research in sports science and nature aspects. We have Peter and the university concerned to share the copyright of the research, and we will see the best results in the next year of the research studies being conducted by students. So it's a win-win for us and the students and the university's concerned. And we will grow the portfolio. Our target is that by next year, 2014, we recruit further students, and we are targeting to have 20 master students and 10 PhD students, new ones coming in. So we have sufficient resources to be able to cover them, and we hope we'll start it. We will, in terms of the sports plan, launch the National Sports Volunteer Corps program. This program is already ahead of its time. We have already finished everything and the mechanics that we have to do. In terms of the sports plan, we have to face it in 2014. But we have already done work on it, and we have not yet started marketing. The link on our website is there, and already we have about 418 volunteers that are registered on their own without us in the marketing. So this program targets former sports stars, leaders, coaches who are retired to come and they volunteer their time, and we tell them their schools, and they do a lot of work in that area. So by the time we start marketing it vigorously next year, we are targeting to have at least 10,000 of these volunteers. Because we have to give them status to be able to travel to the schools and do all of this. And they also have to undergo coaching lessons and things like that. We also have a successful ICAR project in London during the Olympics. And we have also managed to do a lot of work, those partnerships are speaking about in respect of the Soviet Union. And one of the big things we did last year in recreation was Greek Walk. It's covered in our annual report. Last year we have about 3,000 participants. This year we just had it this Sunday. But for the first time, we also signed it to all the provincial capitals, and all of them had similar works around the country at the same time. We also launched the Marine Sport Journal last year. This I have put the committee about, and the Little Green Book, which consists of the top 100 most influential people in sport, with their contact details and everything. There's also a story about what influence they hold. Some of the members of this committee are here in that Little Green Book. And we also have SAFRICON. SAFRICON we hold it every 2 years. It's the South African Sport and Recreation Conference. This is an international conference that attracts a lot of international speakers. And so we hosted it in partnership with actually after the event with SMUJ, and they wanted to host the conference, and it went quite very well. Marshall Asia last year got 300 tests captain or whether a player for hockey for a lot of them. She's the highest kept player on the entire African continent, and we then honored her in Africa. No other player has more than 300 national players. And Masha is a woman, and as part of our support group, women's sport, we decided to do something big for her. We had a special dinner for her, and we also managed to get a sponsored car for her. One of the things we did was a sporting regulation. We targeted all provincial museums in this regard. This program was very successful, and we will repeat it again. This was a human rights exhibition. We looked at the role of tribal icons who fought and used sport as a basis for fighting and fighting for the boycott of the cultural boycott and so on. People like Salam Simi, Peter Hain, and many others who fought as post-tribal were featured in this exhibition. We have now realized that there's even much more of these people that we need to notice and celebrate. So next year, in National Human Rights Day, again with the non-properties, we'll have this exhibition. One of the biggest things we did last year was a media announcement of the Basketball National League. And as you are aware, a lot of work has been done, and the first thing, as I have said, will be on the 18th of October. We also started the review process of the top development approach. We are starting the pilot now in September with the mobile district in Limpopo and with Edekwini Metro in KwaZulu-Natal, a rural node and an urban node. And we are piloting this node right hand to see how well it will succeed, and we're confident that it may change the fortunes of the club development and support. I bring the committee about this in detail. The other issue for us was the issue of lack of access facilities. I've already spoken about the national facilities plan that we have worked on, and which we have done around this and the classification as well as the MIT. Let me now move to the issue of the academic system. This, as you may be aware, we supported 1,424 athletes last year through our academic system. These are now amateur athletes, about 10 professionals. Majority of them, if I mention their names, you won't know them because they are not yet stars. So, but this is a hub where you turn out the stars so that they keep on coming out. And if we are the first ones to analyze that amount is too small. By standards of our competitors, what they churn out through the academy systems is much, much higher than that. They've got like in excess of 20,000 athletes in the academy system. And we are training less than 2,000 a year. And we had to find a way of doing this. So we introduced the structured development program, also the sport focus groups, as a way of starting an academy system much earlier. And through that, because it's cheaper with this new structure, we're able to attract about 50,200 students. So in future, the sport focus schools should account for about the excess of 30,000 students right across the country in the different private schools in the center. As you are aware, we are part of Ashcam County, and which now is going to become our community. And that is about the empowered inclusive citizenship. What's important about our program in outcome is on social cohesion. We and other cultures have to play a bigger role in this regard. And hence, you know, the issue of the Nelson Mandela's problem. And we are, I can tell the committee now, I hope there's no video. Next year, we're playing with this to play England with the Nelson Mandela Southern Culture. We want to play England in four groups. So it will be Africa versus England, but four different groups. In rugby, in football, on the Saturday. And on the Sunday, with netball and cricket. And so we are looking at two days. We call it a super cat. Yeah. So that's what we are. We have specifically targeted England because it is competitive in all the four groups. And again, there is a rich history of them following their teams wherever they go. And they travel significantly. So we are been confident that then also us as a former colony and also the rich ties we have with England as part of the Commonwealth. And this will just be after Commonwealth Games, right? So we have been confident that it will gain much more support, and knowing the English of the year and also how their media influences across the world, it can only serve us as a good platform to get the brand of Nelson Mandela and social cohesion in our country in the future, and to change the international perception about our country. One of the greatest things we have managed to do in this regard was the mass participation conditional grant framework. We promised that we will amend this. Last year was the first year of implementation in its changed format. We have seen greater successes in some areas and also in others on some, which in this year's conditional grant framework was really targeted. We were told that our property reported that grant in the default was created with permanent. But if you remember, this figure used to be like 10,000 people. Because every one of them was paid 800 seconds, and they were intermittent. Many of them were moonlighting, and they were not there. And some of them were just a teacher, and then in the after school, the hub only opens at 5. And then the hub is his house, you know, he doesn't even go to his hospital. He puts up a night there or on the street, and he says to the kids nearby, click. And then he takes photos of the kids playing, submit, and he's okay. So we challenged this. We said we want more responsible staff members, more accountable, and they must be given decent jobs. So, and we want them to be contracted on a semi-permanent basis, 3-year contracts, 3 to 5 years. And with that change, if you recall, many agencies were fighting me over this because, I don't know, many political administrators were preventing people to give us items, I don't know, but for sporting to use at the table. So we ended up with 304 of these people now, but it takes much more responsible, much more accountable in terms of what we do. We had a target of training 10,000 educators in delivery of school sport. We were only able to train 2,179. And this was managed only in few codes because netball, football, and athletics, many sub-codes of athletics, have no accredited modules by the catheter. And so training them on specific modules is so we have started now working with the cathedral on writing such models and getting them accredited to be able to train national coaches in that. So only cricket and rugby really have fully prepared to make a goal for models accredited in the center for training. We also last year supported about 83 podcasts elsewhere. So we agree this number is still very low. And there were challenges. The conditional grant framework didn't allow the treasury us after we have transferred provinces to transfer that to the provincial sporting council. But now Treasury has given us that we applied and we explained the challenges to them. And then they have now agreed that under certain conditions, what I transferred to the provinces, the transferring officer, the HODs also have a right to transfer a request portion to the sports council. This now we open up a way for the sports councils to support the local sports councils to do work in this. And this was one of the meanings of the first year of implementation of the conditional grant framework. We had 3,272 learners, of which 21% of them were children with disabilities who all participated at the national championship. Cumulatively, if we add even children who participated in the provincial services last year, in excess of 200,000 learners participated in the school sport program. And as you are aware, we have this in from 10 to 15 members. This year we are going to bring some change with the rest of the Free State playing also. And we have increased the codes, we have added 3 more, 11 codes plus 2 indigenous games codes. Murabaraba and Jack K are also going to the national championships. They have been played. The last championship is being played next week by KwaZulu-Natal. All other provinces have already played their championships. And we also managed to select from the last year's championships 40 learners for the material school sport bursary, and we have paid in excess of 1.4 million already. Each learner gets about 100,000 rand, and they are taken to the specialized sports school. The Western Cape Sports School is one of the good ones, and we have sent 3 learners there this year, and we have also taken some learners away from their homes and sent them to schools that are good and the good schools, and these learners are selected purely on their sport talent. Our condition is that they must pass, but they shouldn't really be like the wisest kids. They don't have to have a B in mathematics, or even if they pass with 50, as long as they perform well on the field, That's our key focus and the focus of this broadcast team, because we select them based on their talent and seek to nurture that talent and help them grow in the high school up until they enter the academy system. So that's what we have done in this regard. There are still challenges with rollout of school sports. Many of them, you know, we still don't have the skilled personnel such as umpires, technical officials, and professional coaches, particularly primary schools. This is the biggest challenge for us. And we are hoping that the training program will help us achieve this, and volunteer program will inaugurate it next year. We'll also have some of these resources. We still have good community sports structures, as you know. Many local sports councils exist only on paper and not really ready. And we also don't have adequate support and participation by parents. Even at the national championship, I can say like 98% of the parents were there were white. The black parents are, even as the kid has got on the bus and has gone to Victoria, we will see when whether he comes back with a medal or not. But it's also about the inequalities in society. My parents, some of them don't even allow their children to get on the bus. They take their child with their own room and they get on the bus. But we need greater participation by parents to support children in this regard, and also the absence of facilities, you know, is a big challenge. Let me move quickly to the sub-program. As you are aware, we didn't meet all the targets. Here have given the rationale and the reason why. We did other things. As you may see, some of the things I'm requesting were not part of the original plan, but once we adopted the sports plan, we had to now also deliver on the new thing that was not part of the original target. So we did much more actually than what we expected. So we that the auditor general doesn't audit what was not part of the predetermined objective. Romeo did what was recommended. I had a lengthy debate with them to say, what is the bit and face? Create a distortion that we haven't done anything. Because there is this huge way that has been done, which is not considered. They know that yes, you have done this, but that's not what you're going to report on. You'll report on what your plan was saying and what did you do in that respect. And so if what was in the plan, we ended up achieving only 50% of what we were initially supposed to do. So, but yes, we did much more than what we were supposed to do, because we did many new things that were not originally part of our plans because of the adoption and approval of the first plan by Cadimus. And unfortunately, that happened midway financially. Kadima only approved this in May, and okay. Chair, I'm now going to move to monitoring and evaluation. As you are aware, we participated in a government-wide review, the MPAT, and of all the government departments, the only six that got a score of 3. The highest score is 4. No government department scored a 4, even the president didn't score a 4. All of us scored, the 6 scored 3. We were one of the 6 departments who scored 3. And the rest of the other departments scored 2s, and there were others who scored 1. So there's no 0, I'm sure. If there was a 0, others would score a 0. But the lowest scored a 1, you know, then we scored a 3. And when the Minister Chavani announced the MCAS code recently and he named the Engineering Department, as you may recall, he cited sport and recreation as an example which the department needs to follow in terms of this, because at least with them, they were able to factor in the new way that we added the ministry. And they then asked us on the using We looked at the MPAS score and we realized that some of the feedback that they were giving us in respect of the things they said could have actually scored better. In essence, I think that we can really correct. So we have already begun work around correcting some of the things. Our target is that in 2 years' time, we want to score a 4. And we are geared up and fired ourselves up to say that we want to be the best department to score a 4. So that's our target. Really. In 2 years' time, we want to be at the point where we saw the commitment we can make. Let me now move to the issue of litigation. Look, we don't initiate lawsuits. I think I'm a PAU honorably. we don't initiate lawsuits, even with boxing and with our entities. We hardly ever go to court to go to someone or other. Even where we are grossly offended, even where the media sometimes have written horribly wrong articles, sometimes to the extent of even fabrication and lies. We have decided not to sue, or not to do anything, even though the rights are really before us to sue. Because we can't lose money, we need a courageous person. But where we are being sued, and we think that we are wrongly sued, we have every obligation to defend ourselves. Because we simply cannot allow for default judgment. This court will be the first court that we will realize to say, why did we defend? As soon as we will be used, we have a strong case. So, all the lawsuits that are happening is because people try to sue us. I mean, there are people who are crazy. The person who goes to a private resort in Mpumalanga and goes there and does bungee jumping, and the ropes mess, and he breaks his bones and every other thing. Now, somehow, because he has sport and recreation, he fights us because of recreation, and he says, if the statutory respondent cannot pay him, the Minister of Sport and Recreation must pay. I mean, there's no way I can sit back and say, well, I will not use money to hire lawyers and what and so on and let him sue us. I can't do that. I think I'll be irresponsible as an accountant of that. Then we have to defend and we must defend Ashi and even argue for the order of God. You know, and that's what we are doing right now. We are defending ourselves. And where Franco takes books in South Africa to court and she cyber because it's not only saying suing them, he says also we are the first respondent there. So we can't hold our hands and we know both South Africa has no money and the cash to respond. He will unleash the entire mind of the state and say, hear me hold. And to prove that we're really serious, the only other case where the state hired three senior counsel, six advocates, and 14 lawyers, attorneys, was the E12 case. And we are just close to that because we have three senior counsel, we have four advocates, and we have only 8 attorneys. So we are committed to this, and we have just plotted with the ABC, and they too are building a strong case, and the two teams we have agreed that they must collaborate. So some of the best legal minds in the country on offer will be at our disposal for this case, because it is a case we do not face to win. But if we fail to quickly lose that case, I can assure you, honorably, the boxer is worse off for good. You know, so we cannot afford to fail the boxer. So whatever money we have at our disposal, we have to redirect it there. And in this current financial year we are in, we have already redirected money. We have, our legal budget normally is about 2.1 million, just to defend minor cases. But we have set aside about 20 million for this. And we are not about to lose the case. We shouldn't lose it. I think we have a terrible precedent if we allow ourselves not to defend. We have to defend that case by all costs. The other issues, which I don't know if reported about them, but I have to indicate that the ICC strategy, we are not the only government department facing this challenge. In fact, I have been bold enough to go ahead and approve a new dispensation in the public office. Because due to Australia, they've been dilly-dallying and they can't make a decision that frame the government must take. Are we supposed to be on open source? Are we supposed to be on licensed platform? No one wants to make a decision. But that puts us in view, because that is at the core of the policy for each and every department. And so accounting officers have checked with about 7 other DGs and I contacted them to ask how are they navigating around this. And they too, their policies are in view, but they are not approved because the digital council is not finalized. So after receiving this thing and doing 1 hour case for 3 years now, I went to the leap of faith that I wrote to the DG of DPSC, I wrote to the CEO of CETA, and I wrote to the chair of the Digital Council, and I let all of them that I am going with my role and I'm approving the policy, and we are the licensed platform and we will take that. We have begun the procurement process of the Microsoft package and the license and the other thing. So the only assurance I wanted from the AG was that they would then not later come and say, and wasteful expenditure, I think the government decides should the digital council somewhere along the route of the contract designed by the open source. So then they will say you should not have attended if you have waited for the digital council. But with the assurance given, I then took the plunge and signed off the policy. So I hope next year it will not appear on our about our problems. You say with the HR policy, I have now actually decided to ask, even our minister has returned now twice to the minister of GTSA. And he said this matter, and on both occasions, even today, he's still not over from the minister of GTSA. So, consequently, we can't have a situation where we have no HR plan for more than 4 years. I mean, it's just an exception. So I've sent the HR plan of whatever efforts we will implement the HR plan going forward. But we just cannot have a same finding chair for 3 years on our books. It's unacceptable. So let me now say that, Chair, we have improved in terms of handling of labor relations cases. Largely, as you are aware, we are given 60 days to resolve cases, and most of our cases were able to resolve within 20 days. And this is in contrast to about 3 years ago, where our cases, some of them were done to 93 days. But now we are, it's not financial management, the current is that it takes about 37 days against the target of 30 days to process payments. This is now on average. We are supposed to pay within 30 days. But there are, I can assure the committee that there are challenges in this regard. It's not all states for the cards. We are at the primary to show practice, no, they are not yet to show it. But the issue is, the law say honorable need trade with us. At the time I'm asking this quotation, if your tax clearance certificate is valid, even if your lower area letter is going to expire in 3 days, at the time I'm asking code, it's still valid. I can't disqualify you, I have to ask your code. And once I have asked your code, I cannot then disqualify you, I have to give you the contract declaration. And thereafter, you submit an invoice. I have to say to you, no, I can't pay you unless you have a valid tax clearance certificate. But your invoice is here, and the clock is ticking. I'm now at your mercy to go get a tax clearance certificate. And there was this specific case of a fellow who printed something for us, and he even wrote a letter to me saying his business is going to close down because we don't want to pay him. It was now after about 60 days and I was refusing to pay. Because if I pay, the return will not come to the real next day. I do not pay when the person has no tax clearance certificate. And now consequently, that fellow pleaded and said, no, please, you know, I don't have money to pay my tax debt. So pay me cash so I can pay off the debt and then I will bring the tax clearance certificate. And then after a conundrum of, I then took a plan, I said, hey, yeah, let me help you. So I authorized, I said, pay you. And then they paid the bill. And the fellow disappeared. And the fellow disappeared. Yes, then the problem remains with me now. Now we had to get the failure. It took like 90 days for him to bring the certificate and the EAC. And all I could say was, before the auditors could come, you know that I am. But no accounting officer should ever be placed in such a situation. So consequently, I think the fact is not just an issue. We must insist that you are tax level certificate must always be in like 60 days before expire for us to pay with you. Because they do it in other things. If you have them to the US, they will say to you, if your passport is left with 3 months to expire, they can't issue a visa. You must get a new passport so that there's no problems of you disappearing and then you can't travel. You must do more other things. If I just address to Kajari and they have not yet issued a practice, you know, but it is still big challenge as it is right now. Let me move to the issues of audit. As you are aware, we still have the audit framework in place, and as you may have seen from our report, it still remains green on governance, and we are doing quite well in those areas of risk management and every other thing. Now I'm going to move to the issue of spot investigation service provider. We evaluated about 50 projects against the target of 15. We increased this capacity now, largely because of the complaints we received from the committee, as well as the feedback from the general that we are not monitoring the grant framework properly. So now we have institutionalized this, and we stand even now to the school spot provincial challenges deployed all senior managers and they went there. We also do surprise visits. And even the minister does surprise visits and they get them, comes to see whether tournament is being played or whatever is happening and so on. So, this we are doing and we are doing quite well. We have now increased those talent. We have 13, originally we did about 50. So we will in future do much more of our rigorous testing in this sector. Okay, I'm going to pass that last thing because I've spoken with you about the class. Let me move to the issue of talent identification. As you are aware, our biggest challenge here is tournament teams have played, but we do not have talent scouts. South Africa has a weakness of talent scouts and people who are able to sit on the side of the field and see that that person is talented. So we did the first pilot of the talent identification program with federations and last year's national sports championship. So we have three people to sit on the side, and each of them has a scholarship. So for us to agree that and have a consensus that you are the talented person, all of them must score and see the same things you. So they must look at you and say, there is no other player playing. And then they score the same thing. If those things are consistent, then we have confidence that you are. And they can't talk to each other, the scorers. So we did that and we came up with 14. So the test was very stringent and we were told that our test is even much more stronger than what New Zealand is using to identify talent, but we thought that as a start, so that we don't get the system wrong, we should keep up with that in case. Now, as is, we are busy training more talent scouts, and we are committed to ensuring that in future, we don't only identify talent at national championship, but we also identify at provincial and district, so that that talent doesn't fall within the criteria. We have finalized now with Pasco Benua Academy system for the country. As you may remember, our biggest issue was around the provincial spend and who should control that. Is it first call or is it SRSA? At what time do you say an athlete is no longer an amateur but he has now become professional? So that issue has been a history issue and we finally resolved that we will do joint management and first call must appoint some people to the board and we will appoint some to the board and we will jointly manage the provincial academy. And we have started going them out. As you may have seen, we now run the national training center in different teams. And I'm told that you did visit the center. And it's a world-class station here at the museum. We will from now be sending also some of the junior athletes through the training center. But that is where the national teams must camp in preparation for this. They are not really the normal provincial academies. I think it must be understood. Okay, so I'm going to pass on this. As you know, we started work on preparing for WADA next year, this year, and we are hosting the WADA conference in this financial year. And we have 100% success rate with compliance with the WADA stipulation. And as you know, we continue to represent Africa on the WADA executive, our minister is a member there. But that time, WADA in the presidium, we have been nominated and CANSPIPE, the committee of African ministers of sport that met in Abidjan last month agreed to anonymously nominate our foreign minister as the deputy president of WADA. And that nomination has been supported by the entire African continent. And we are last WADA based in Argentina, going to Europe as well as South America, and both endorsed the nomination. By all means, it could start that he would be elected. In November when we host WADA in Santiago. In my participation, this has been an area of our great achievement. We also had some weaknesses, particularly against the target of 2,000 participants. We only achieved 8,648. That we could very high because the systems for verification and progress has always been a problem. Professionals don't keep a portfolio of data, and we are reliant on them to prove to us that indeed the tournament they say had a better than the number of children. They say there were 800 children there. We don't just attack them, but we need proof that there were 800 children. So if they didn't, for instance, take the ID copies of these children and make the file and so on, we have no proof. in other instances they show us photos, but the photo, they say you see it was true, but the photo is not sufficient for the Westerner to agree with that there were so many people there. So I think we are not asking them to do video chats. So perhaps the video is a good measure of estimation, so to say, because in the past we used to see with a clock, and everybody entering, they used to clock like this, and you look at how much you have. But that's not a good indication of participation, because not everybody who ends up the stadium is a participant. Others watch, they go sit and watch, you know. So I think because of the nature of the program, it is always very difficult to verify indicators like this, and I think it has been a great challenge. And even when I asked how was the number of the 2,000 arrived at, and they said, they did the number of provinces, number of programs, according to the business level that the province was submitting. If a province says they are taking 2,000 people for this program, they take the 2,000 and it into the pockets. For this one, it will be 500, they take 500, and usually chiefly the number was about 2,800, and they rounded it up to 22. And that, I guess, couldn't be verified, the achievement that is. And this is one of the biggest things that distorts our achievement as such, because we cannot really tell. Now, although they argue that no, we are from heaven and it was good, but if we can't verify what is being said, there's not much we can do about it. We held the 9 new camps last year. We still have 8 there, with the exception of Northwest. And Northwest didn't have the new camps. It also did not have the new world now. And the money allocated for this project, we are going to commit. We will reallocate it to other provinces that are using wisely. And we have also taken a decision to freeze the conditional grants until the senior management of the Northwest province can meet with us around the key agreed priorities. So we will not be transferring a federal grant until we have got all the, because all these things are part of the business plan designed with them, and are part of the reasons why we transfer money to them. And if they do not do the programs, honestly, we can't keep transferring to them the money. So I thought, she did conventional this Northwest. Yes, the Northwest province. So the rest of the other provinces have indeed done what they needed to do. They have done this program. Often we are concerned, and we used to be very concerned about involvement with Mumala, but honestly, I must say that with the youth camps and school sport championships, as well as the big work now, the two provinces have a consistent freeze of money with different HOD strategy. We are making progress, and I think we can see the turnaround and commitment. The COO went to Malanga, and she came back with a very good report about what happened with the school sport. They were very organized, all the matches started on time. Everything was well organized. I think we were quite pleased with the change we have seen, because last year, if you recall, Mpumalanga was even late with others to the national championship. And even some children didn't participate in the rest matches, and they were crying there because even with Limpopo, the team arrived, but they had no time to play, you know, and some were 25 for the first matches, and the entire game was the second day in the afternoon, you know. And so I think this is where officials fail young people, you know, and the challenges we see in that regard. But now those problems are gone. Now the Northwest, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what happens with change of leadership. Because the HOD there has been changed like, I don't know how many times. Even now the one who was taking was removed and sent to the previous HOD, and there's a new one who takes it now. And she's not doing anything, you know. So we said until we meet, we're not transferring any more money. And I think that is the reality of it. Like I said, so we had started the creation programs, and we are doing quite well. The big work is one of them. We started rolling out the number of all of these things, and we are quite pleased with what we have seen with the creation programs as far. But our flagship remains school sport, and as you know, we had originally planned to register only 4,000 schools to give us a week. But because it was an open registration, 15,600 schools registered. All of a sudden, we had with so many schools that wanted to play, and we didn't have the money for all of them, you know. And, but we went out the system with the national lottery, and they gave us some money. It wasn't enough, but we also actually have some codes and filling within the budget. So we only created 8 codes last year. So this year they have agreed with us that because this year we will surpass the chair, the 8,000 mark of the athletes that are there. And the problem is that this championship combines also children in school, in primary, and some of them are as young as 14, so they have to come with chaperones and things like that. So with participants, everybody, all the rest, we're looking at the tournament with officials and everybody, 11,000 people only mark. So we are booking accommodation in good condition as far as 60 kilometers away, because we have taken everything on ourselves. There's nothing we're not taking. All hotels, all what, all hotels, all camps. We have taken everything that is available. And we still are short of accommodation. So we are now working with Rangaung Metropolitan Council to set up the chassis for some of the children. So I think that's where we will go to address the shortfall. I think we have a shortfall of about 1,300 people. So we will make do with what we have. So this is the biggest championship, and it would be sad if we say only Kaunti and Masoro City. So we have to do extraordinary things to make sure that the city. Our key thing is two universities. Wherever there are two universities, two one city, it's a good start. So there, because there are sports fields, there's others, so there's accommodation and facilities. So that's where we are going. We are targeting to be a championship, more than 8,000 athletes and with other officials, technical and otherwise. Just to look at it in perspective, the London Olympics were only 3,700 athletes. Well enough. Isn't that big? So this now is like 8,000 athletes, more than twice the London Olympics. And yet, these are not many of them. They need supervision, they need this. And that is why the number of officials are also okay, I'm now going to move the chair to Program 4, which, as you know, is international liaison. I've spoken about the water theme already, but what's important is that we went very high in approach and in target around this. And we said that if we were to play in the international relations arena, either must do it firmly and seriously, or just not do it, you know. So, and then we started, now we must evolve in our approach, and we then began to evolve. As you now know, our deputy minister was now elected to the UN agency for sport for peace. And his chairperson was elected unopposed after Argentina withdrew at the last moment. I think they realized that the numbers were just not in their favor. So everybody had probably elected us. And even on Zosix, part of the Supreme Council of Sport in Africa, again South Africa was elected as Secretary General. It's like the government, but the Secretary General is the most important position there. So South Africa was elected again unopposed in this regard. And on the rate of the regional anti-doping agency, again, Rwanda and South Africa were elected chairperson and secretary, respectively, of the region. And we campaigned for the dissolution of SCASA in line with the heads of state resolution. But as you may know, we tried the decree on the African continent of Ngazana Dalai Zuma. Our diplomats, I think it was the first time they were given a chamber to campaign for a sport event, you know, and our diplomats normally is campaigning for trade, other papers. So never have they been asked on the African continent to convene government to vote for a specific resolution in the committee of African ministers of sport. But many presidents organized and informed them, gave mandate to their minister to come. When we had the first collaborative meeting in Ethiopia, Sumaya knows that she represented that the odds were stacked against that resolution. And the countries of the North, led by Nigeria, even they were opposed to the resolution. And after that, the diplomats do some work. By the time comes when the resolution was approved, and then even those who were opposed to it wouldn't say anything. So it was smooth sailing. And North Data has been dissolved. In this place, the UAE was possible. already in countries are in South Africa to administer for the new position of president, although the people remaining coming from India of this new body, so that we will, when we are formally nominated, most likely accept the nomination. Our minister has went on a number of visits during this era. Kenya, amongst which was the visit to the NBA in New York, as you may be aware. There he signed an agreement with the NBA by which they had agreed to set up the NBA Africa office. They have done so now in the Washington City. And with the NBA office, has come the Plastic World Without Borders program. And they said he must nominate a province, nominated the Northwest at the time. And in 2008, in partnership with Royal Golf Game, there is a basketball league there for schools happening in Blue Man, and that is why Northwest last year the national championship came number two in basketball, because and the power of the core of their teams were closed for the schools around them. So they were very willing to do that because they are played by the Americans in this, and also in Alexander we set up with their own money basketball for Africa course for basketball, and also on a program there. So each year they come here in the off-season. In September each year they come, and they do a lot of coaching things. So that thing went well. And the other part of the resolution was the signing of an agreement with FABC Sports. And since then, the E-ball show is now being played on FABC Sports, the kids of the NBA. And now, SuperSport will start with the basketball Premier League games showcasing the prominent teams. So, this is one of the major achievements of this. I know Honorable Ramadabi did ask us the question about the same item of the minister's trips and the benefits in respect of this. We have seen to respond that. And now the public protector has asked us the same. More or less exactly as Honorable Ramadan asked, and then we also responded to the public protector. But then our major obvious needs were to the London Olympics and to some of the things there. So, in terms of our planning and advocacy work, as you know, we have done a lot of work. We convened the first municipal conference on sport and recreation, and a number of resolutions were adopted there. And we also did consultations in respect of the consolidation of the National Facilities Plan and the MIT grant. We also lobbied the municipalities around the support and recreation in the MIT grants consolidation. And our program with the Germans is doing very well. It's coming to an end. This is its last year. But the hiccup also have been set up. I think we're left with about 9 to roll out. So consequently, from December till March next year, we'll be opening one court facility every week till the end of the financial year. We are quite committed to ensuring that all the money remaining in this is utilized when the German fleet. So the one?
Yes. Chairperson, whilst we are on the issue of facilities, you know, Lotto is building a lot of facilities in the Northwest. Some of them are lying already for a year plus there, and they are not being utilized. I just want to know what is the department going to do about this.
Yes. The issue of the lottery, honestly, it's a bit of a challenge for us. Why? Because the lottery had not aligned its plans to the National Sports and Recreation Plan. Now, we have just met. When was this met? Last week, Thursday. We have just met with the board of the lottery. Presented on our priorities, and also absent leader, but for alignment. Sports distribution agency, which Mr. Lavella there is a member now. We have agreed that we must share with them the national facilities and the long-term funding. And we have proposed to the lottery that we leave joint funding, that we both put money in the pot and we finance programs in that way. And that also there are all of where it's not just in Northwest or only in facilities. It is also in other programs, like in school sports. We are the championship, we are the system, we are the elite, we are district competitions and so on. They put in money in parallel competition. And then you find that the school is participating in three tournaments, whereas it should be, participating in one and working with us in that class. Also in issue of club development, you find that they selectively give clubs here and we think that we must do better. And then the sport focus schools, which are dedicated to a specific coach and are specialized schools in that regard, and have a teacher who is a coach, at least with a level one coaching course, is stationed there. Those schools must get subscribed. So if they want to build facilities, if they want to provide funding to schools, if they want to do this, they want to focus on those designated schools first. Then if the principal is my friend, I like him, and I say to him, apply, and then he applies. And some schools get 2 million, but some get 3,000. What is the criterion and what is it? So we have decided not to be crisis. Minister, when he started, he was combative and in the media attacking the old distribution agency and saying that they are not spending the money wisely and that it was 200 million for school sport championships. So then attitudes were added in on both sides. But I then asked the minister that he give us some space to constructively engage with the school on the priorities. By the time the old committee was leaving, we had already established some form of a rapport, because for the first time they had agreed that they're not funding schools anymore. They will channel the money through the national league and so on. And that augmented our resources. Overnight, all of a sudden, from originally the 6,000 schools that were participating, well, that's all we had money for, despite the fact that there were about 15,000 registered for a league. All of that, overnight, we were able to take that number to 11,000, because now the money could afford to buy equipment for schools that don't even have a ball, but they have not played sport for the last 10 years, but now they are saying, here we are, we want to participate. And the money in our coffers is so little, and they have the money. So, but if we can do alignment, then we put our money there, they put our money there, the impact will be much, much greater. So we are to ourselves now, the new GA and other departments, and a joint workshop to hammer out the priorities.
Who's the new GA?
No. Distribution agency. Okay, sorry. GAB. The distribution agency board.
You are scaling now up to a young mention the name.
Okay, sorry. The UK.
We're missing Kyokushin.
So the new DAD we will engage with, and I think it will help us much more succinctly with alignment. And even if now with a norm of 4,500 people per ward and per facility, if there is already a facility in that area and we count the number of people, there's no need to roll out another facility. But what helps us is our plan on what we call tier 2 facilities, which are managed from. So because the key issue is, right now, with public poor participation, as it is now, who decides in a lot whether there must be a swimming pool or whether there must be a soccer field or whether it must be a tennis court or whatever? Who makes such a decision? Right now, councillors and what alone decide that. But there's hardly ever a committee meeting in a lot where people vote and say, you know, we think we want a swimming pool and this is where we want. Somebody makes that decision, and it's not a councillor. It's qualified in the IT and they all are. And equally, most municipalities, even if they are 15%, that money is not enough to do everything for all one. Yeah. So who also chooses where to start? Is it 1-3 first or is it 1-70? Who makes the decision of where the facility will go first and whether it will be a boxing thing or a Windows Work Center or whatever. So to answer that, we refer to them that each one must have a facility and that you give them. In a plan, when we know that the municipality, some municipalities are so small that they have only 6 wards. So in a municipality of 6 wards, we have to start where we are most strong and they must focus on the big five. Netball, football, cricket, rugby, athletics. So that's where they must start first. But the bigger municipalities, particularly metros, there's no excuse why each ward shouldn't have a different facility for different goals. But what's important is that at a cluster, we have like 3 grand models. So you can choose model A, which has a basket of OT, football, rugby, this, that, and massive food court. Or you can choose model B, that will have a cricket oval, plus that, plus this, plus that. So there are 3. So at last, the municipality must choose that, you know, at last, we choose model A or model B or model C. So that's how we have worked it out. And so that's why HFE is rolling out facilities with certainty and with speed, because they can tell exactly where to put and how to go about it. And even it helps them with zoning. And they can also, some are playing like for 5 years, 3, 4. And so I think that will help us with the alignment. And the other biggest challenge, obviously, is the World Cup stadium. I think you know, the committee will know that only Moses Mabhida Stadium is only sustainable stadium. The rest of the others, 7 of them, without government cash injection. And where we have privatized, like Johannesburg, the stadium is totally inaccessible. I mean, for Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day, to run that stadium is 4.3 million. And if you want a big tournament like that, graded by police, category A, high risk tournament, so you use it for it. The police will prescribe that. You must have it for 3 days. We start searching very late. So each day, even though there is not a match day, you pay that 4.3 million. So it's extremely prohibitive, the cost. That's to accept. So that is why outsourcing is not an option, because then it will become a wider matter. That is why the bulk of the activities happen in the international festivals. They only are came because they know people will be feeding the stadium and the tickets are 200 or whatever, and then people will buy them and enough the first for you to cover the cost and the reimbursement. And with it, the ticketing prices, in that figure, you can easily make a small fortune. If all 80,000 tickets excluding the street are sold, you are looking at 47.6 million at a price of 200 grand. So you can imagine some of those concerts, like Justin Bieber's concert, went up at 1,000 per day. So you can imagine how much money these people are making. So they make money. So that's why these stadiums are not used for sports, but they are used for these other things. Largely because of that. And with cities small as Polokwane, it's a huge cash drain to maintain Pietermaritzburg Stadium, because it's not outsourced. The municipality has to keep it upkeep and it's running and cost and all. So it depends a lot of resources that should have been used for other purposes. And the secret is that this stadium, all of them, have no stadium prison. Because that's it. There's no prison. There's nothing that generates money outside the stadium to help subsidize the stadium. Moses Mabhida has a huge social park. There's a tourism activity there. People come climb that thing and do bungee jumping there. And I was surprised at how much the cost of that thing. Just one that thing, the ride up was 200 rand. And if you want a kind of bungee jump, you are going to pay 80 rand per jump. And there's no playing. The money keeps rolling in. And they also underneath there, the little shopping complex, the little buy, and the shops pay rent to the stadium, and the stadium subsidizes. So the design from the go was tough. So now the key thing for us is, with the new grants, when we do it, we will target every 5 years one of the things to create the business. But we have to finish the other phases. We were told that money was cut short. Like F&B Stadium had to have a hotel and a racetrack and this, that. It is this thing. And a theme park next to it. That makes money. You know, people go to Gold City, they pay for the rides, every other thing, and they pay entrance fees and what. The money is probably used for the stadium and for facilities and tournaments. So I think that's what we will do going forward to make sure these stadiums are sustainable in this regard. Okay, these issues are covered, Chair. I'm not going to go into this, but Honorable Leader, you mentioned the breakdown of the staff. At the outset, I must say this. I think one of the reasons we got the high score with this is that we are one of the few departments that have high qualified staff members. Now the public service has abolished level one of the public service. Level two are the two with cleaners and water and so on, and not keep up with level two. Those people who earn like,
how much is 37,000 they are
now? Oh, level two. In our department, we have no posts for level two, and for level three, and for level four.
Yeah.
Our most junior position is level five. So even our interns end up in level five. And so they are very well paid, and that is how our requirements are very stringent. Even our interns, some of them are highly qualified. Degree is a minimum. So, frankly, even for a PA, and a secretary in our department, degree. So, it's very difficult for you to run support, but we have highly qualified people. I mean, I had a section that had three doctors, three PhDs in one section. So, honestly, our staff
are not enough.
Honestly, our staff are highly qualified and they are well sought after. I think we don't take them for granted because we know that the training of people who are highly qualified in sport, particularly for the land function, is very, very limited in our country. And those people are not out there, they are inside. That is why each time we invite outside candidates to compete, there's just no competition. They are sort of by internal candidates because they know everything. They know their plan, they know where we're going, and we have institutionalized the plan. So it's not like the management plan, only a few of us know it. And I can give assurance to the chair. Even if I go to London Chair, as you say, those who are with me will get in their plans forward.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
We need the things.
But certainly, this is where we are. That is why it says the lower skilled employees we have zero. And if you look at the skilled employees between 3 and 5, and forget the 3 to 4, because all of them are open. So skilled employees at 5 is what you see there. And highly skilled in production, that is a junior, like this now, support staff. And then you have highly skilled supervision and control. This is middle management. That's the engine of government. That is why our focus has always been there. Well, if we get it right there, then the system, these are people who are in systems in government and who administer projects and every other thing. And we don't want to make a mistake there because you may be an extremely good manager, but if you have all current employees and at this level, you are not, you not matter what you do. So that's the when we start kicking the gate there and we start making sure that we get it right with the food and then we are set. And then at senior management, yes, 13 to 16, starting with directors and 16 being the DG. So that's really where we are. And as you are aware, we don't have too many temporary posts, as you say. If you look there, the one post that we have additional to the establishment, meaning that it's temporary, is one. The rest of the positions we have are 10. So, and even now, we didn't want a shortcut. That's why we're going the route of reviewing organizational structure so that the posts that we make are permanent posts and not a temporary exercise. So in essence, I think this is the key issue. You will see that largely, the resignation, the highest reason why our staff leave. As you may see, expiry of contract is like last, but if you look at the dismissals and the other issues, you look at misconduct, 16.7% of the total. So, I'm not doing that. I will not bore you with the figures, which I have not presented on this already, anywhere. But as you may have seen, last year we went up with 30.something million and the committee was very happy. It felt that we should have spent all the money. This year we want Metafunta to bring as close to zero as possible. But that is a dicey thing, isn't it, Mr. CFO, here in general? Because you also don't want to overspend. Because in government, expenditure is unforgivable. Particularly in such an economy. There's also commitment that you must carry through. So we cannot afford to make a stable over. So the least we can do is to. I would appreciate, except to the CFO, that you target the end of this financial year, you must be 14 and we all must be part. Yes, I think that just goes to show you how committed we are to spend almost everything we have. Because before we can opt for more resources, we must spend what we have. So I think that is the key thing for us. That whatever we have, let's spend it. And let's spend it wisely and let's spend it in a manner that is efficient. I think that expenditure is our annual 2013 financial challenge.
No. Mr. Yeah, I think we are fine. I think that's too short, that. Right there.
First one.
Yeah.
Very important, not really how much money they have, because many people are doing that.
there are poor hands and not so poor hands. I'm not sure how poor and not poor. It just the usage of resources that make minimum impact to society. Not that. Even that, I think you would agree, when you go to other cities now, the workers, they are not sure where to go. They come, and they go under the tree, they cook, and they sleep for the whole day. And then they go home. And then the grass is not cut anyway. They have to cut that. They cut the whole road. But I think they account in terms of finances.
Mm.
20,000 workers are employed, are doing this and that. There's no impact. And then for me, a bigger problem. Because I know that your department is
fine.
You don't have cleaner. The professional cleaner of the office. I didn't like to see that. Yeah. But I'm great, I don't know, I don't know if you're brave with you women. When we came in, I'm aware that our term is ending soon. 8 months ago. But you know that yesterday, we must always be reminded about this because we may work as if we still have 4 years, when we were 6 months ago.
That's not a good reminder.
but I know how politics should work in terms of the policy of the Nazi Party and what you have to say. And then employing you in administration to change a big idea is very to concern me about it. You are 250 rand. Because you are generally there. Because it's there, how is it about the bigger issue? We want to transform our society. Therefore, all the money that you have to do so. Because it can't be right that we can support you for billions of rand. If with 1 billion rand, we can't see change in the society. We can't have that. General Dosha convinced us that if we give you 5 billion rand more, you will change the society to this level from this level. Therefore, we ask on the basis of real information. And then to ask the very people that we do that. And other women, I know that you, Lahan, Mr. Lee, are still hanging.
Yes, sir. Oh.
Well, I'm not sure what is provided by your staff here. But
she is lunch on the
we want to make a point that if you just look at the lunch around and then we would pray for 20 minutes for leaders who have something to think with our director general, the general of us. And then we come back and have a discussion. Both in South Africa, I think, have read
before.
Well, number one. We think that 10 minutes, really, because we know all your problems now. And then we know the problem, the failures, what happened, what are the problems.
The red robots.
And then we'll deal with that one immediately. Now we have the process, the auditor general there. The director general report. You know that we are doing this thing with the aid colleagues to amend the budget. And you know that Parliament is giving power by the law to amend the budget. Then the BRRR is meant for us. That when the department requests resources, more resources, you must know in effect what is the reason and why they fail to implement it as a government. That's why we are doing this exercise of annual reform. If we doubt where that way, Dr. will be very happy. You can go there to talk and know very well that we are doing. I'm told that that is not yet ready. Maybe the best thing, 10 minutes time will be ready. The best thing for us is to. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks a lot for the issues that you have raised. Indeed, these are the issues that now continue to guide us and preoccupy us. In the first meeting I had with the committee under your leadership chair, three issues were raised as the call to the rest of the committee and this department has to pay attention. And that impact has to be assessed along the three issues that was the time. The third issue was the issue of food gardens, which I understand that the committee's biggest interest will be on whether we use the resources wisely, we use it well, are we able to account well for the money, and all of that, and the indicators, obviously. The second issue was whether was the issue of sport development, which what the chair says is impacting communities and whether communities are healthy or not, and whether we are bringing sport services to them in this regard. And thirdly, what the issue of transformation in sports. Are we transforming sports? Are we actively in this regard? And so on. So these were the three major issues that to guide us in this regard. The chair will also remember that I then committed myself when I came in. This is just my second term, just 2 years now. So I committed myself that in the first 3 years, the major focus would be on stabilization of the department, largely focused on issues of good governance and also the rollout of the sports plan. And that in the fourth and fifth year, my job would be really to lay the foundation for success. also very interested in sports development and services for the communities. And when I leave at the end of a 5-year term, my 5 years, my recent which is 5 years. So when I leave at the end of my 5-year term, I would leave the department as a well missionary that can now, you know, they know that the story of Moses and Joshua, you know. You know the finish line, but you're not gonna, it's a relay, you know, you're not gonna reach the, that bottom, but it depends with what the first runner does, whether the other runners will make it to the finish line on time. And so this has been the philosophy, and everywhere I spoke in management, everybody knows that that is the plan. Even the minister has bought into that plan, so I do not intend to do miracles. It's not possible. Particularly from the low base we came from, it's just improbable that we'll be there. I mean, if one thing is an indicator, would be our management report, and I wish the internal was here. When I came here, there was about 280 pages of the management letter from the federal one, containing in excess of about 180 queries. You know, we have just in a space of 2 years narrowed that to 1,000 queries now. So we are knocking them off one by one. And even though technology is aware that on some of the things he has reported them here as work in progress, but I can show you that today as I'm talking to you, in excess of 10 have already been knocked off. By the time I'm sure I leave, obviously I had committed to the minister that we will get a clean audit. He's not yet in my contract now. He hasn't put it in my governance agreement now, because I think he understands the challenges that are. But we have agreed that next year, next financial year, 2014-2015, it will be a condition of my contract to get a clean audit. So we have come really from a low base, and I think must also be understood that the resources at our disposal, if I can just give you an anecdote, when we were organizing for the AFCON Cup, I invited a few DJs to come to the police in Tanzania, and the new commissioner for police, was there. As we were talking and doing things, she quickly came to me and asked me, how many people have they because she was under the impression that we had a lot of money. And when I told her that I'll share with her our budget, and I said, no, it's not the money. She said it is not possible. And of course, as I went, I sat with her and I showed her our books. And I showed her. And then really, just to context, we get a budget of about 880 million a year. Of that, about 500 million goes to provinces as a conditional grant. Treasury said, I can't have the money, I can't do anything else. My dad transfer it to the land. And so we do that. We send the money to the province. And now at that point, this is more than half our budget. At that point, I crossed the fingers that, you know, they will do the right thing with the money. Because on paper, it looks like I'm commanding 880. In truth, I'm not. And thereafter, I said I have to transfer about 25% of that. About 90 million goes to the Federation. I now have to tell them, and also hope that they are going to do that. What remains with us of 20, which I command, is only out of the 80 million. And with this, I have to do the record. No, honestly, if this one to tell the committee in clear openness and in truth, I have to pay all salaries, I have to pay rent, I have to do everything that needs to be done. It must come to the 180 million. So in truth, what we are doing is short of the miracle. I think people see us on TV all the time. They think we pay for that. No, we don't. We are leveraging the budget we have with partners and with stakeholders. We use sheer, sometimes political sometimes political coercion, you know, but we use all techniques to make sure that partners come on board and they avail their resources for us and they avail platforms for us to do certain specific things. So yeah, I think the issue of money share is not the biggest issue for them. So even when we report here about the expenditure, we include the money that in mass participation grant that we transfer to provinces. Provinces have to report and account to me and say, So we felt that the bulk of the money was going to come, and that was more than half of our budget. We didn't pay attention. Which before I came, this is what was the norm. I mean, I'll give an example that I did at the last time. How came we do the money for community sports? The money is in hand for community sports. They is because the rules are not clear. Every HOD is free to decide to the MEC what is going to happen. They decided to take the money in community sports, which is about 10 million. They decided to do something called the housing car. They invite Mamelodi Sundowns, Chiefs, Pirates, and Super Sports. They come, they play one player against the other, knockout, the other knockout, and then they play a final in a stadium on the same day. The cost of delivery of the one-day tournament to this is 8 million. 10 million of community sports is all in one event, and communities have nothing. No, and what the minister was talking about, things like Murika, Granola, that's what community sports is about. Money for the house and everything must come from community. Money for club development and supporting local clubs and so on must come from community sports. So, if at a goal, you spend 8 million of the available 10 on such a card, after that there is no development work that is happening and so on. So obviously that status quo couldn't be left untouched. I mean, it has to be understood. And that is why the biggest fight was around the conditions that I would say just a transfer motive. I could not understand that why the law is protesting for using me power to set the conditions specifically so that I can determine an outcome on the other side, because it's in what I put as input that will ensure the outcome for me. So if I didn't have the money and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. When we started doing that, the treasurer was the first one to fight it. I mean, you can ask our people. They were the first one to ask me, you know, no, I'm being too restrictive for the programs. I said, yeah, but they don't do what they are supposed to do, so what do you want me to do? The law says I'm there. They said, yeah, you're going to get a lot of credit out of it. And I said, well, if I have the chances, I'll take them. But clearly, I can't leave the status quo to remain. And we had to shake the tree a little bit there. Second was a divide from the program themselves. Yeah, there was a time even the main, most influential MEDs were saying, calling for my head, they were saying, you know, somebody dismissed me, you know, and there's not lying. But I stood my ground because the law was on my side. You know, and I felt that I needed to. And the other things, I mean, you know about it, some I brief you in private, in confidence about them, and some are the key challenges that have been there. There's no way we can sit and allow. With little money we have like this in a country such as ours, that allow that a ball that you can walk in game and buy for 100 million, that ball must be sold to us for 400 million. There's no way I can agree to such things. And I, one of the transferring offices, I can't allow that to do this type of things to happen. And so there was a big fight. I mean, people are not happy, but I had to come in, regulate prices, and I had to say, one can dress out tender for everybody. You buy from the national tender and you buy at this price, you know. Well, miraculously, some of the old suppliers which used to sell that ball for 430, they were now willing to sell it for all this. That should tell you something, but they too are the first ones to acknowledge that something was wrong with the old system. But now there is some form of peace, you know. People have now accepted the new rules, and that's why, in fact, I believe we'll make a difference. But we don't take it for granted. The PDG, first and foremost, is the first scientific basis for us to evaluate our own program. We choose the topic there. We write up about 40 topics. I think Sumaya and Capit are putting about 40 topics into the PDC. We asked all units in our organization to submit potential things that they want to use that in terms of the program. Many have submitted. For instance, the CFO told us that he wants to see a study being done on the impact of financing of sports and how it impacts on the implementation of the sports life. So we have taken that topic in. So students at the beginning of this year to look at the list of those topics, and those who are interested to take one of them, they choose, they say this one, and then they go to their supervisor and say, I want to do this one, and the supervisor says, write a proposal, and if the proposal is approved by the university senate, then we register that candidate and we pay for their fees and every other thing. They do the research and then we look at that. So unfortunately this system is cheaper. Normally a research of that nature will cost us about 2.3, but because we are using students, it's a win-win. We pay for their fees and every other thing, and we even give them stipends, you know, and often even money to travel to do research. And even if they don't have money to go to the library and make copies, they are free to work to our office to come and do copies and what. We give them support for free and open our resource center for them to get access to books, to work on sports and everything, and materials. And they also have access to interviews with us and what, for focused interviews, and we organize their things with other federations and so on, that they succeed. One of them, as an example, has taken the topic on the UCAS because we wanted to see what impact are we making respect of that. And this year, well, the first year he was doing an outreach. So at this year's camps, he went to four of the camps. He went to four of these camps, and he distributed questionnaires, he did everything. So we will, in 2 years' time, start getting the results. We will start seeing from a scientific basis what the impact is of our program. Because I think about three of them are doing one way or the other on the school sport. So my topic on school sport. So we will look as well what impact we have there. And like I said, we also have a partnership with Center Technology. The HLRC is doing a review for us of the sports plan implementation. But the major review will come after 7 years in terms of what the plan says. I will not be here, but when that happens, the review will be in the entirety of since the inception in 2012 of the implementation of the plan. And we will know what impact the plan is making, because at that time we have a chance to amend the plan slightly depending on what the outcome of the review study says. Then the other key thing that we are also doing is that we have international partners that we also work with. For instance, in school sport, UK Sport is, and the British Council are supporting us widely. They have rolled out this mass participation program for years, and their system of school sport is quite advanced. So we rely on them and their technical advisors who are advising us on what to tweak, what to change, and so on. And those new elements we keep on continuing. So for instance, we are just about to finalize a school sport manual, you know. And once that is done, and which I think in a month's time will be done with it, and we have printed it, we'll start distributing twice. So we are, as again, we started last year to use science as a basis of decision making for funding. When we prioritized our budget and treasury, I mean that we needed to support federations with money for Olympics. We reprioritized our budget and we set aside $37 million to avail to FASCO in addition to what we have been giving them. At the time it was already advanced FASCO with $48 million in South Africa. Then we reprioritized 37 and we then decided that this 37 we are going to use it wisely. We are not simply going to throw money. They were busy at the time, you should remember. President Gideon Temo was saying they will get half medals. And in the midst of all the noise about the half medals, I sat down with our team in Francisco about and I asked, where will the half medal come from? Can you give me an indication of who is in our team? And who is a potential medal contender there? Because one of the principles FASCO get accepted every AGM was that everyone qualifies must go. But look, check. In for instance, in 100 meters, you need to qualify. You need to run it at least within 10 seconds. But we all know that the winners win with 6.7 and 6.8, somebody. So the fact that you ran it in 10 doesn't guarantee you anything. In fact, you are going to be at the record level. So, but you are qualified, so you are entitled to go to the Olympics. By FASCO rules. But shouldn't we be making it more stringent? Because we've not really had money. Shouldn't we be saying that even if you qualify, you must qualify with a time of at least 8 seconds, the expenditure. So then we can pay for all your apparel, your training, your everything to go to the Olympics. And then the federations were fighting, they know they want exposure at the highest level. And so, well, there's no money. I think the choices we made
are important in this regard. And so consequently, we sat down and said, let's check. Let's look at all potential medical contenders. So initially, Team South Africa was made up of 157 people at that time. Later, we took a team of 160 something. But at that time, 137 was already qualified. Those were the ones that were had in the one. And never failed this one. So we did them one by one, and we checked who has the potential to make it. And we realized that the bulk of them stood no chance at all. Because in our assessment, we look at our competitors. We look at other athletes who have already qualified in the same sport in category, which will be competing in. And we look at their qualification time. And we also look at their three previous races before they qualified. How well were they doing? And we look at you and your three previous ones. And we realize, no, these people stood no chance of qualifying. And in effect, on the contrary, some of the people who were not on SASOC OPEX program, who were being funded at the highest level of funding, were there and they were not getting the money to prepare. People like Owen, we were told that they are ranked more than 8th in the world, and therefore they do not qualify for the OPEX program. We took money, and with that we are going to reinvest this money for the ROAS, because my team helped me that's where a potential medal may come from. You know, so we invested money in this. And we started investing money in this. We gave M-Funding money in medals. We gave Casta money. She came there with a medal. We gave Bridget Hardy money. She came there with a medal. We gave Bruce Rowas money. And we also gave Sunet. I think the only candidate who disappointed us was Sunet Kalju. He didn't make a loss. But we gave those that we thought would medal. And chair, of the six medals that came, four of them came from the athletes that we said, this one will give us the medal. Had we not given that team of Rumi and even Bridget Hardy, those medals would not have come. That gold and that bronze would not come out. And I think this is a story we don't spend on rooftops and shouts and things. Because of course it's the government agency, it's our agency. They like to see themselves as some independent thing. But they are a government agency because they established as a creature of our state. They established and they derived their existence from the National Sports Foundation Act. So we see them, and that's where we fund them, because they are our sports consideration. Our system of government is where our government has engaged some of these functions to the confederation. So including the tribe and the selection of South Africa. We don't select the team. Even when Greg Shoutu, who felt, the weightlifter who felt that he had qualified, and they said him, he was not qualified, go to the minister to complain that they are leaving him out. What could do, I said to the minister, you cannot interfere in the selection of the team. All you must do is ask them what are the grounds for not including it. And they responded. And we responded to you. You said, I'm still not ready. And the minister said, yeah, but one word, I said, leave him. He's not ready. Now he had other avenues. He can go to court, he can go to CAS in Switzerland, and the Court of Arbitration for Sport. That's what the Olympic has to say. So those are the rules that he must now follow if he still agrees. He went to he opted for a lookout for, and he lost, right, on a technicality. We felt that he filed the papers long after the decision was made. So, and there was also the case of the runner, yeah, and even the girl in equestrian and so on. There were many cases where Sasok was taken to court about the selection, and we never interfered in all of that. So consequently, long and short of it is that, yes, we believe in using an evidence approach. And I think it's evidence. Honestly, this is, we understand the patients. Maybe the work we are doing now, we should have started it 20 years ago. Perhaps, we can argue that, but the bottom line is that this work we are doing it now, and we are on track in terms of what we are doing. I think it will be perhaps too much to say right now, we must do the high level things when the basics are not right. I think our focus has to be on the basics, getting a proper sports plan. For the first time, we have it in 8 years. And getting all the indicators everything right to ensure that impact can now be measured and we can then use the evidence approach in that. Some elements of it are what I will give it to you that we have already began. It's not like we have folded our arms. But we will test it in the pudding. But the issue of results change. I guess when ultimately the impact is measured, remember, of our 9 provinces, only 3 from their own equitable share by the
rest of them depend on a share of their 500 euro net transfer. If we do not transfer this money, there will be no spot in those products. I think that understanding must be appreciated. That it is only KwaZulu-Natal and Free State and Western Cape which allocate money of their own treasury, their own provincial treasury, take some of this money and say this will be a spot. The six other provinces, including Gauteng, they have allocated zero to spot. And they say you are getting money from national. So they get a share of the 500 million that we have fed to them. And they rely solely on that share. So that is why it's such a huge punishment for me to withhold money. Because I get the attention of the HOD squeeze. They start begging me, I can't pay salaries this month, I can't do this, and I say, comply. And then they could comply. And that is why our outcomes have improved so significantly. When I withhold money, they don't submit that report. I know that if I condone that, then I pay. I'm here and I'm the one in a small box with the Auditor General about where is that report. They didn't submit the report on the academies who gave them money. Why? So I withhold the money. And you see, quickly in the meantime, they report on academic car. Because it's the only thing that can unlock that money. And the money flows, you know. So I think that's where we are with the system. So the money is really here. It's neither here nor there. And we are, I call ourselves an Asian culture, the step children of government. Each time there is a problem, and somebody wants to cut a budget, even when we have not done anything wrong, they say, boss, and what, cut first there, you know. Even now we've just been told, cabinet has just met and said, the economy is bad, we must cut some more. In addition to the 1% that we're already with the committee, they're intending to cut some more money from us. So, I don't know, but yeah, in essence, this is the money we have, and I think the impact must be, not it cannot be all the impact of a figure change, it's an impact of 180 million cutting. It must be understood in that context.
Well, let us break for lunch. Let us take 10 minutes and come back. I think time will be there.